Hi everyone, it's David Wheeler at Wickham Wanderers and you're listening to the Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show, brought to you on the day that Wickham Wanderers make their latest January transfer window signing. They brought in Anders Hagelsjaar from the Norwegian top flight in what's believed to be a club record fee. The 27-year-old Danish central defender arrives at Adams Park with Champions League experience, having been a constant presence in the back line for Molde. We'll hear from manager Matt Bloomfield later on this hour talking about that signing and looking ahead to tomorrow night's visit of Portsmouth in the FA Cup, the third round of the competition, just a day or so after the 50th anniversary that the team first reached, or the club, I should say, first reached that stage of the competition. We'll be speaking to legendary goalkeeper John Maskell, who played in both ties and many other games as well, over 700 for the club against Middlesbrough. That's coming up a little later on. We'll be speaking to Wickham Wanderers women's manager Carl Simon as well. They've had a brief Christmas slash winter break and they're preparing for a big game on Sunday away to Ascot, who are the league leaders. The Chair Girls are 5 points off them, so it'll be really interesting to hear what Carl has to say as well. In a bit we'll hear from another new signing who arrived this week just before the game against Huddersfield on Tuesday, Sonny Bradley, who's another very experienced defender. But first let's hear from Phil. I should state that this chat was recorded yesterday, the day after that defeat to Huddersfield, but wishing him a very happy new year after he signs a new contract extension for the show. And lots to look forward to, because we mentioned pre the new year that there's so much, you know, football to kick off January and a lot of games, and obviously last night's one being a very close encounter.
Yeah, announced catchpole said no one for contract extension 25. It's been a busy time over Christmas and games, and I think we saw the signs of that perhaps in the last two home games. A little bit leggy, I think player availability forced change of formation. Is that a thing? It is now. Back three last night against Huddersfield. And I thought, you know, if we concentrate on Wickham initially, I thought, you know, we had a really good opening 10 minutes, I think. And then Huddersfield got the goal and then showed why they're so good defensively. But we just couldn't break them down and had some spells in the second half as well. Had chances, hit the bar. It's just not an absolute disaster at all. We're still second in the table after all these games that we've played, which is incredible when you think about from where we were in the summer. So look, yeah, obviously not the result we wanted. And the late equaliser from Blackpool was a bit of a kick in the teeth as well. But there's been a lot of movement this week. Two loanees going back, a new boy coming in, meeting the team in the pre-match meal and then playing 90 minutes, which was very encouraging from Sonny Bradley's point of view. There was positivity there as well, but equally things to improve on and things that didn't go well, which we've seen Matt Bloomfield, how he adapts, how he analyses, and the incredible amount of work that he does. So plenty for him to get his teeth stuck into moving into the FA Cup game on Friday. And then also it's a bit of a break until the next league game, which I think could be a good thing as well. I'd imagine there'll be rotation on Friday between both sets of teams. But look, you know, Matt Bloomfield has been incredibly buoyant in his post-match interviews this season, largely, I think, due to the results, and as well as he settles into his own skin as a manager. And it was interesting to talk to him last night after that defeat against Huddersfield.
We didn't defend the corner properly and we switch off in a moment and concede. And then from there, it's all us. But we don't get the goals that gives us the result. So therefore, you end up losing a game that could have been so different.
It was a cracking finish. You said we didn't deal with the corner well, but there was still stuff to do from where the ball dropped.
Yeah, Herbie Kane's a fantastic footballer and he has been at this level for a number of years. A lovely footballer, passes the ball really nice, got technically gifted, gets around the pitch. I think he's a really good player and finished the chance extremely well. It was a great finish.
There's a change of shape tonight. Was that born because of availability of players?
Yeah, obviously we lost three right-backs in the last couple of weeks. So therefore it was forced upon us to go through at the back, which I actually felt didn't really contribute to the result. Made us a little bit stodgy at times in the first half. We dominated the ball without really having a cutting edge up front. So yeah, and then we were going to change it second half. Then we had 10-15 minutes of sort of momentum. Had a couple of chances, so left it another 5 minutes. Then we made the change of shape, put Giddy at right back, who I thought did really, really well. But yeah, felt too much of a gamble to start him there in the first half, so we went change of shape. But it is what it is. You have to be adaptable in football, you have to be resilient. And it's frustrating because stats don't win you games, but we we obviously clearly dominated them, hit the bar, keeper makes a couple of saves. I don't think we created enough clear-cut chances for the level of dominance we had. But, yeah, that's the game, right?
And when we needed that little bit of luck at the end there, Tariq Backinson just hits the underside of the bar, inches, really.
Yeah, it's frustrating. He hits the bar, Joshy's header from the corner, Rich and Tariq from the goalmouth scramble. There's a couple of moments there. I don't think they had a touch in our box from the 50th minute onwards, so we camped in their half, but we couldn't get that final touch, so those things are irrelevant because we've lost the game.
New face, though, in the starting lineup, Sonny Bradley, signed yesterday, straight in today.
Yeah, he knows the game. He's played hundreds of games at Championship level, League One and League Two. I've played against him over the years at Luton and last year with Derby. I think he's a very good player, real good defender, knows the level, knows how to get out of the division as well. So, yeah, it's tough for him to walk into the building today, meet the boys and go straight out. But I thought he was great in the middle of the three and then in the back four, he'll give us what we need.
What are the challenges of a player who arrives for the pre-match meal when that is literally the first time they're meeting it? There's not a huge amount of time to get information, is there?
No, and the last thing you want to do is overload information either. First and foremost, he needs to learn everyone's names and the way we're trying to play. And we gave him a little bit without giving him loads and loads. And I thought he was great. Took responsibility on the ball, set pieces, he was great. Aerially, he was very dominant, as we expect. So, yeah, I thought he was very good.
And any news on those injured players? Any sign of them coming back soon?
No. Jasper's out of his hamstring for a while. Jack's got a calf, which is not too bad, but not quite yet. Sads, as I've said before, he's back out on the grass. And, you know, I have to say, these boys have done 5 games in 13 days. They've done incredibly to keep playing with a level of sharpness and that you need to compete at the top of the league, which is where we're doing. Fair play to them. You know, 5 games in 13 days is not easy. And they've had to recover, go, take on information in meetings because we can't train because of the level of recovery. So fair play to the players. The way they've attacked it and really gone at it. And we want to finish with a flourish on Friday.
And I'm sure fans will be scanning social media and the Wickham Wanderers website throughout the week whilst the window is open as well. We've got one new face in already. Any more on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm sure there will be at some point. We're really pleased to have Sonny and work's going on behind the scenes. So, yeah, I'm sure there'll be additions that the club would like to make and we look forward to welcoming them then we do.
And another home game this week, Friday night, change of focus, FA Cup.
Yeah, really exciting. FA Cup third round's incredible. For us to get this far is fantastic. You know, a really exciting game against Portsmouth. I watched them on Sunday against Sunderland. Moose was here tonight, I think. So look forward to seeing Moose and Potsy. They've got some real good players. We had two real good games against them last season. They obviously stepped up the division and slow start, but they're doing really, really well. So, yeah, it's a good, tough game, but really exciting for us. And the prize of a fourth round tie at the end of it is fantastic. So one we're looking forward to.
Great to hear from the manager, as always, and really interesting, as you touched on as well, reflecting on Sonny's arrival as well. He looks like being a great addition with his experience, but really interesting that he first got to sort of meet the players at the pre-match meal.
Yeah, and I think you can only really do that when you've got that experience behind you. He's 33. He's still got plenty of miles left in the legs, which is great. But he's also got all that experience. And he's been out of the division. He's got out of League One with Derby last season. He's done it with Luton. You know, he was very highly thought of at Plymouth. So he knows the division well. He's stepping down from the Championship. And I think we could see signs of that last night. You know, left-sided centre-back, physically very big and imposing. I can guarantee that, having stood next to him and interviewed him after the game last night. He's a big lad and seems to have a really good attitude as well. And looks to be a real leader, which I think in a centre-back is what you need. When you look at the players that we've got, you know, Joe Lowe has been fantastic this season, but still a young player. And will no doubt enjoy playing alongside Sonny Bradley or being around him at the training ground. Likewise, Declan Skura and some other younger players as well who may not be necessarily centre-backs. But having these experienced pros who've won promotions, who've done things in their career, command respect. And one thing I loved chatting to him last night was that he said that he's really looking forward to getting to the training ground and earning the respect of his teammates, which I think shows great attitude, great self-awareness as well, that you don't just sort of swan into a club and say, look at me, look what I've done. It's about going in and earning that respect, which I thought was an excellent thing to say.
No, absolutely. And at the other end of the scale, two arrivals this week for the development side, which will be great for the future.
Yeah, I think it's really great to see that we're still looking at the non-league pyramid. We've got a good track record now, haven't we? An excellent track record even of finding rough diamonds down there and polishing them up, getting them game time, be it with us or out on loan, and then making them better players and better people. And, you know, it's great to see that that model is continuing alongside all of the other hugely exciting and numerous activities going on around the academy that development as well. So, yeah, look, we all know that there's talent down in those divisions, and we know that there's lots of players out there, and the scouting network is wide, and it's about picking the right players, the right characters, and seeing what we can do with them.
And as the manager hinted in your chat, there can be more incomings before the window closes.
Yeah, there's always a glint in the eye, isn't there, with Matt Bloomfield when he sort of mentioned the window. Look, it closes on February the 3rd, which seems like an incredibly long time away. And, you know, as often with the windows, they often start with a trickle and then they gather pace as we nearer the deadline. On top of that, you know, looking around the divisions, there will be managerial changes around the three divisions of the EFL. And that can often then sort of inspire a sort of a glut of movement. And it's a bit like a snowball, isn't it? Once a couple start to happen, then it kind of kickstarts other clubs down the chain to start their moves as well. But look, Wycombe Wanderers will be looking to strengthen, which is good news that Matt Bloomfield has said that he's expecting more in. And obviously Wycombe fans will be constantly pining for Aaron Morley after his superb loan spell at the first half of the season. And Exeter fans obviously have removed him from their Christmas card list for 2025. After he scored again against them on Saturday.
That must be a record, mustn't it? Yeah. One player scoring against the same team in the same week.
Yeah, both after 90 minutes and both winners in 2-1 games. So yeah, I'd imagine Exeter fans were absolutely livid about that. But there we are, that's football.
I must thank you for using the word trickle as well. I don't think that's been mentioned on the show ever. In fact, we should try and use that more.
I'll try my best, mate.
try and fit in a trickle. You touched on the fans as well, because I think throughout any of the transfer windows, they kind of put together a wish list, don't they, of who they'd like to see arrive, and I guess certain positions that perhaps need strengthening.
Yeah, you know, and it's great to see that as well, because, you know, I think all sort of online activity, as long as it isn't sort of abusive, is positive. It's people talking about their clubs. It's engaged. It's showing what they would like to happen. And look, you know, fans don't get the full picture sometimes, and in terms of recruitment and data, I mean, we're all sort of keen to see this sort of data model now that the club has been speaking about, and what that means in real terms and how this window will work. But of course, fans will have their opinions, and that's why football's great. Everyone's got their opinions, and they'll either sort of keep them to themselves or put them online or engage in numerous chats or message boards or Twitter or whatever it is they do. And it's great to see people talking about Wycombe Wanderers and the Football League in general. So, yeah, I'm sure people have written their Christmas lists, and they've now written their January transfer lists as well. So, although I'm not sure if that's linked to how well you behave across the year, but we'll find out.
Something else which I think is quite rare is speaking to you so soon after a game, yet also so soon before the next one.
Yes. Where are we today? We're recording on a Wednesday, aren't we? So, yeah, I'm still in that sort of weird sort of post-Christmas, and mainly not because of Christmas, mainly because of the games that we've had and in the way that we've had them. Very unusual to get sort of a Saturday, Tuesday, Friday all at home, and four home games in a row as well, having had long periods in this season where we've not had a home game. So, yeah, I think it's credit to the fans as well, because at this time of the year, it's tough financially for a lot of people after Christmas, and four home games, one of them being a cup game. So if you are a subscriber or a season ticket holder, it wouldn't be included. So look, you know, it's tough for fans, and it's been cold as well. It was absolutely freezing at Adams Park last night. And I know that it will be cold on Friday. So please wrap up warm if you're coming to the FA Cup game. It'd be good to see you there. But look, credit to the fans for not only their support, but also, you know, for continuing to stick by the team in testing times away from football.
And really exciting to be in the third round, especially 50 years since the team first got there.
Yeah, it was lovely to meet those boys from the 1975 team ahead of the Blackpool game on Saturday. And one thing that really struck me, Colin, is, you know, it may have been 50 years to the day since they'd played that game against Middlesbrough, and they were a hugely successful team, a great season. They went on to win the league that season and won the league numerous times around that mid-70s period. But seeing them together, the spirit remained. It was like watching some sort of friends who see each other sort of almost every day, sort of conversing and comfortable in each other's company. And I love seeing that when I see old teams get back together at Wycombe Wanderers. And it seems to be that spirit that really keeps them connected. And great to have, you know, the families of Howard Kennedy and Brian Lee there. He's obviously, they're sadly no longer with us, Brian and Howard, but their families were there to come and see just how much their departed their loved ones meant to Wycombe Wanderers and the impact they had as well on our club. But yeah, great day. And Wycombe Wanderers do this really, really well in terms of remembering and celebrating the people that got us to where we are now.
You must see that a lot in the Legends Lounge as well. Football's quite special like that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, you know, it was great to see. And, you know, they were, you know, we spoke to three of them in the Legends Lounge before the game, Alan Phillips, Paul Birdseye and John Maskell, who were all three stalwarts of that team. But yeah, great, great talkers, great memories. And yeah, and always sort of makes you wonder, you know, be like, who will be interviewing sort of Fred Onyedemo, Adebayo Akinfenwa and Joe Jacobson in 50 years time? You know, who will be doing that? That'll be interesting.
Are you ruling yourself out?
I don't know. I mean, 50 years, I'll be 96. So, yeah, see you there, Colin.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll probably be sat down, but it'll be very, very much looking forward to that. And also, we'll be chatting to John Maskell later on in the show as well, so that'd be fantastic to catch up with him. And obviously really nice that, you know, Portsmouth, a team that we know well from previous League One exploits too.
Yes, good links with Portsmouth. John Massino, former teammate of Matt Bloomfield at Wycombe Wanderers. We've come up against them last season. They obviously did really well to get out of League One. They're in the Championship now. They've got Freddie Potts on loan from West Ham. It's great to see him step up a level after such an excellent season with us in League One. So plenty of links there as well. And a big club, Pompey, let's not forget, have won this cup, this competition, not that long ago, you know, so the late noughties. So some pedigree. I know that they'll bring a big crowd. I think there will be rotation from both teams, perhaps. I think if you offered Pompey a defeat at Adams Park, but safety in the Championship this season, they would probably snap your hand off for that. And equally, if someone was to offer a Wycombe Wanderers fan a defeat in the FA Cup but automatic promotion in League One, I think we all know what the answer would be to that. But however, Matt Bloomfield said this last night, and I agree with him, the FA Cup is magic. And if you get through this round, you don't know who you're going to get next. It could be a you know, another chapter in this famous football club's history. So there's always a bit of magic. It's under the lights at Adams Park as well on a Friday night, which is a bit unusual. But it's not on TV in this country, so you can either listen to it on Wycombe Sound 106.6 FM or on Wanderers TV, or be at the game and drink it in. So we shall see.
Lots to look forward to. Enjoy the match on Friday night.
I will do. Thank you, Colin.
Pleasure chatting to Phil, of course. And as he mentioned, he chatted to Sonny Bradley after the game against Hartlepool on Tuesday night.
You know, I got the call on Sunday night and the paperwork pretty much got done yesterday by 12. I met the boys for the first time a few hours ago at pre-match. So clearly not had any chance to do anything on the training pitch, but it's just one of them. I think the team were a little short in numbers, so I had to come straight in and try and make an impact and try and make a difference. It's easy to say that I think we were the better team and we probably deserve more, but I know what this league's like. It's fine margins, and one set piece has cost us. It's not even a first contact, it's a second ball. And we go 1-0 down, and I think in any league, in the Football League, if you concede the first goal, you know, teams like Huddersfield are good enough to manage it and see the rest of the game out. And despite having a couple of decent chances, we couldn't get ourselves back into it tonight. But I feel like it's a positive performance. I can definitely see why this team is up there. But yeah, moving forward, I feel good and I feel positive.
You said you know the league. You certainly know your way out of this division. You've been out of it a couple of times. So great experience to bring to Wycombe Wanderers.
Yeah, and I hope that's how people look at me. And I think, you know, last season, the back end of last season, especially with Derby, you know, I came into it more, and, you know, I didn't necessarily start the season great there. But, you know, when it got tough at the back end of the season, I was there. I had the experience. I knew what I was doing. And I think I can do that again this season. So, firstly, I want to get into the training ground, the training pitch, and I think earn my respect from the players that way and show them that I'm here to make a difference. And then, yeah, we get back out on Friday in the FA Cup and we try and get through to the next round.
Remember, you can hear more from 6'5" Sonny Bradley and 5'9" Matt Bloomfield speaking after that game against Huddersfield on the club's website and on Wanderers TV.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Part two of this week's Wycombe Wanderers show still to come. We'll hear from Wycombe Wanderers women's manager Carl Simon and men's boss Matt Bloomfield once again, looking ahead to the visit of Portsmouth in the third round of the FA Cup, which comes around the similar sort of time, date-wise, that the club first reached that stage of the competition 50 years ago. That was commemorated on Saturday, the 4th of January at the Blackpool game, where the surviving members of the team and indeed the squad reunited to celebrate that occasion. I'm very pleased to say you've been catching up with someone who was there on that day, both 50 years ago and on Saturday, legendary goalkeeper John Maskell.
It's a long time ago, but it's still quite vivid in my memory anyway, and I'm sure it is on lots of the players that played that day. And I know that some of the supporters, you know, I spoke to a couple on Saturday actually, and they can remember it very well. So it is a special occasion. And I think, first of all, I think we have to thank the organisers for such a wonderful day, because it was a wonderful day, apart from the result when I thought we should have won, but there you are. As we know, these occasions do not happen on their own, and it was thanks to the efforts of the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association Committee and the football club. I must mention the football club, that it was such a success. Three people, John Taylor, John Bignall and Matt Sissel, deserve a special mention for all the hard work and organisation they did leading up to Saturday and actually on the day as well. It was a success. It was nice to see so many supporters there up in the Legends Lounge. And we got to speak to a lot of them, and they came across and talked about the game. And it was amazing, really, when you think, as you've already said, it's 50 years on.
It is a huge amount of time, isn't it, that's passed, but fantastic that it's still fresh in your memory, and I guess especially special when you're reunited with your former teammates as well. I know you keep in touch with many, but it must be extra special to get as many of them together as you did on Saturday.
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah. It's amazing, really, but we still keep in touch with each other. And when you think about it, apart from the midfield, which consisted of Howard Kennedy, Mickey Holyfield and Terry Reardon, who sadly passed, they've all passed away. Apart from those three, everybody else is actually alive and kicking. And we ended up, I think I'm right in saying, we ended up with everybody apart from Tony Horseman, who was, he's not very well. Keith Searle's just come out of hospital, so he was missing. And Dave Bullock, who went down with flu. But apart from that, everybody turned up. And you have people like Alan Phillips, who came all the way from Cheshire. You had Paul Birdseye, who came all the way up from Portsmouth. And it was amazing that people made the effort to get there and get involved with the club and the special day.
And not just members of the team from that time, but the squad as well.
And the squad, yeah. Dave Alexander was there. He was one of the squad. Dylan Evans was there. He was one of the squad. So it wasn't as though, you know, it was just the players that played. It was the actual squad itself. Sadly, Brian wasn't there, Brian Lee. His family were there. And the amazing thing as well, I found anyway, was that the Legends Lane was packed, as I said, with supporters and players, ex-players, and A lot of the people there who've been invited by the Ex-Players Association were obviously the wives or family of the players that have already passed away. And Howard Kennedy's wife was there, for instance, with her daughter and her granddaughter. And it was nice to see these people. Terry Reardon, he was represented, his family came. So in all, it was a great success, yeah.
And it's something which means so much to so many people. And also, you know, you've got that bond that you've all been through that together and achieved that together.
Yeah, that's right. And I think this has all come about really because we always kept in touch with each other anyway, but basically it's all come about from the Ex-Players Association, where, you know, we do have regular things, as you know. We get together, we have a committee, and it's just gone on from there, really.
And it seems that well, I know we've spoken to you before about it as well, but football's really special that does this, but also, you know, the club is really special in that, you know, that people seem to want to keep coming back and want to, you know, remain in touch and celebrate what's been achieved in the past.
Exactly. It is a special club. You know, all right, you can say, well, I would say that, wouldn't I? But no, it is a very, very special club. How they've done it, I don't know, but they've managed to go from amateur to semi-pro to full-time pro now, and they're in Division 1 and could go up this year into the Championship. And yet, it still feels, and a couple of the supporters said this to me Saturday, they said it still feels like a local club. It's never lost that. And I hope it doesn't lose it neither, because I'd love to see him in the Championship, obviously. And who knows what the future holds, but I still hope that they have this sort of family feeling and a welcoming feeling for supporters and ex-players.
I saw a great interview that JDT did for Wanderers TV and the build-up to Saturday, and he was saying that, you know, Brian Lee sort of started it, really, in that he sort of not only focused on the player, but also the person as well that he wanted at the club.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that sort of sums it up, really, why we're all together now, even now, because, well, one of my sons said to me afterwards, he said, what a lovely day. He said, and do you know what? He said, each and every one of them, they're all nice guys, aren't they? And I said, well, that really is down to Brian Lee, because if you came to the club, and I saw it over my 17 years, where players come to the club and they were good players, but I had this feeling they wouldn't last very long because they weren't the type. They didn't fit in. They were, you know, he wanted to... football come first, obviously. You had to be a good footballer, but he wanted the right characters in the club and in the team, because he realised that it's not just about players, good players. It's about the comradeship, the fighting for each other, that feeling that you're togetherness then. And Brian created that, and it proved it on the results he got.
Because I guess to be a successful team, you don't necessarily all need to get on, but that was something that you did in that group.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm sure there are teams, good teams, which don't necessarily get on, but we certainly did, and I think that does help as well. If you've got a good team spirit, then, you know, that will carry you through the not-so-good times. You know, you get a game where it's a bit, not a very good game, a bit scrappy, but at the end of the day, you know, if you're fighting for each other and you show that determination, then that's it brings you through. And I've seen it, actually. It's quite interesting, isn't it, that you had Martin O'Neill, and then you had Gareth, and then you got Matt, and all their teams seem to have this togetherness and work hard for each other. And that's what you've got to have before you even start.
And I was watching highlights of the Middlesbrough game that you played in, and one thing the commentator said was it was great character the team showed.
Yeah, they did show great character. You know, when you think about, because, well, you've seen the interview with John Taylor, they were not just an ordinary team. They were sort of one of the best teams. And I think they thought they would come down to Lokes Park and roll us over. But I never doubted that we would give a good account of ourselves. I didn't know whether we'd get a draw or what, but I thought we'd give a good account of ourselves, and in the end we should have won the game anyway. But and then going back up to Ayresome Park, again, I think they thought they would turn us over. In fact, I watched a video that Graham Souness did, and he talks about the game, and as he said, when they were lucky to get a draw, and when we got back to Ayresome Park, he said, I thought we would give them a beating, but it didn't happen, you know, and in the end, we lost 1-0, as you know.
And you were called into action a lot more in the replay?
Yeah, a lot more in the replay, yeah. But like I said on Saturday, Phil Catchpole did a little interview, and I said that, you know, it wasn't all about me. It was about the team, really. You know, they were all had good games, and they played so well together. And, yeah, I made a few good saves, I suppose, and people sort of say, well, you know, you kept them in the game. Well, no, I didn't. It was the team that kept us in the game. And we all did ourselves very proud that night, anyway. And on the Saturday, by the way, the first game, yeah.
And did it feel at the time that you were part of something really special, being the first team to have got to that stage of the competition at the club?
Yeah, it did, yeah. I mean, I think it was a platform to go on from there, for the club, I mean, to go on from there. And I think they did, you know. We were a really good side. I know, you know, semi-professional and what have you, but we were a really good side, and we never thought we'd lose to, you know, we never thought we'd lose badly anyway to anybody. It doesn't matter who we played. And I think that was proven, you know, the year later. We I remember going to Cardiff, Ninian Park, and they had quite a few Welsh international players. Mike England played for them as well. And we went there, and honestly, we battered them, and we lost 1-0. And we really did play well. And we outplayed them. And their manager said afterwards they were very, very lucky. But that was the team, and Brian Lee seemed to get that across to us that we were as good as anybody on the day.
And you were talking about obviously how special the club is, and that must have been what kept you at the club for such a long period and have made so many appearances.
Yeah, I think it was 750 odd, but you know, I was lucky really, because I didn't have that many injuries. I did break my leg actually the first year. But that was about the only bad injury I had, and I managed to keep my place. And I think I'm right in saying that John Taylor once said to me, "You realise, Mask," he said, "you saw off about 18 different goalkeepers in those days. You know, from the period I played started to when I finished. So I didn't do too badly." And some of them, by the way, went on to play pro football. So I was lucky.
And do you feel, you know, even today, as you say, 50 years later, a real sense of pride of that team getting to the third round of the competition for the first time, but also, you know, what else you achieved in those title-winning teams as well?
Yeah, obviously I was just part of it. But, yeah, I'm very proud that we did so well. And that was really down, as I say, from the time Brian Lee walked into the club and changed it completely. He changed it from what was, as I say, amateur, semi-professional, and he changed it to a very professional attitude by the players and the committee and everybody else. And, you know, I've got to thank Brian for that, because he certainly was instrumental in me being there and staying there, and everything I've done at the club I've got to thank him for, really.
And it's a great achievement that I'm sure, you know, future teams have looked to emulate as well. I know, obviously, that there was one in particular that got to the semi-final of the competition, but getting to the third round's not easy, is it? And obviously, this coming third round, we can rhyme to Portsmouth, which again, should be an exciting tie.
Yeah, it should be. I hope that they beat Portsmouth. I think they should beat Portsmouth, but you never know, do you, in the Cup? I mean, if you get on a good run, luck seems to be with you, but... we'll see on Friday. I think that it'd be nice for them to get in the fourth round and get one of the big guys at home or away. Somebody like Manchester United or Spurs or somebody like that.
That's what's so special about the competition, isn't it? Obviously, you know, in 75 as well, of course, having a non-league team playing a Division One team.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the route to that that game, it's quite interesting, really, because we played, because of an administration problem, I don't know what happened, but we shouldn't have been in one of the qualifying rounds. We used to come in about fourth qualifying because we were one of the top amateur sides. And due to an error, we ended up playing in a very early round, and we were drawn against Marlow away. And we were lucky. If my memory serves me right, I think I might have saved a penalty that day, but we won 1-0 and we were very lucky. on a bone-hard pitch. We won that game, and then we played Cheltenham in the next round, which we beat 3-1 at home quite comfortably. And then we played Bournemouth, as you know, and we threw with them at home, should have won the first game, but beat them 2-1 down at Bournemouth. And then we got the big one, so to speak, the Middlesbrough game.
No, absolutely. And brilliant, as you say, that the Ex-Players Association do such a great job in bringing you all together.
Oh, yeah. I can't praise it enough, really. Not because I'm part of it, but the Ex-Players Association do such a good job, you know. And it's nice to see that, in fact, they do things that you're probably not aware of and other people are not aware of. But you take Vince Faulkner and Keith Samuels, for instance, they do a hell of a lot of work with the club. They take people round on tours, you know, school children and other people, families round on tours of the club and talk about the club. And I think they're involved, well, they are involved with the Warm Hub, which is something the club puts on for supporters. And they do a lot of work. I think, as I say, I think the Ex-Players Association has been a big thing for me and for everybody else involved.
And fundraising is a big part of it as well. I know they're presenting a cheque at the Alzheimer's Society to the Alzheimer's Society at the Portsmouth game as well.
Yeah, we have four events a year, which is every year, and we've been doing it for the last, 13, 14 years, raising money. And the events start with a quiz, which, by the way, we get about 150, 160 people there, which is quite good. We start with a quiz, then we have the bowls, and then we have the golf day, and then we have the dinner. And the dinner is always excellent anyway. We raise money, and we have a chosen charity every year, and we raise money for that charity. I couldn't tell you exactly what we've actually given over those 13 years, but it's a hell of a lot of money. But I know on average we sort of give £3,000 to £4,000 a year to our chosen charity, which is, again, something which we're proud of.
And just finally, what would be your message to supporters about, you know, what was achieved by, you know, the team that you were part of 50 years ago?
Well, obviously, history is quite important in any club. All I would say is I think that was the start of the success they're having today, really.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you and share your memories. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you.
Great chatting to John Maskell, having him on again the show. And do check out the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Player Association Facebook page. We'll be able to hear from the opposition view. Graham Souness, who played on that day, has his memories of those two ties and sends his message to the team of 75 as well.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
The Chair boys are flying high in League One this season, so come on down to Adams Park, get behind the boys and play your part in what will be a memorable season for Wycombe Wanderers.
71 minutes on the clock, up against Jed Stitt, dancing around on his line.
Take your time, Rich. Take your time.
Kono. Here he comes.
Score! Richard!
It's been goals, goals, goals for the Chair boys so far this season. Come on down to Adams Park to play your part and get behind the boys. Head to tickets.wwfc.com and use the code SOUND on booking for a chance to win a gantry experience at a Wycombe Wanderers home match. Come on, you Blues.
Final part of this week's Wycombe Wanderers show still to come. We'll hear from men's manager Matt Bloomfield looking ahead to the visit of Portsmouth in the third round of the FA Cup. But first, after a brief winter break, the Chair girls return to action on Sunday. I'm very pleased to say that can welcome back to the show manager Carl Simon, who we spoke to before their season started, and great to have him back on this week.
Good to see you again, Colin, as always. First part of the season's been good for us. We had a really good run in the league so far. Scored plenty of goals, so we're quite happy with where we are.
And really pleasing as well with the new signings you've made and what they've brought, which is exactly what you're after, really.
Yeah, a lot of new signings, and we spoke earlier in the season about trying to get more attacking impetus into the team, and we have that now. So it have settled in really well, and the team is now beginning to gel after about 11 games. Now we're becoming a real team.
What would you say has pleased you most about what the team has done so far?
I think it's how we want to play. Obviously, these things take time. And obviously, the new players came in. And to be honest, when they came in, we were still getting results, but still trying to, let them understand the patterns of play and the Wickham way. And we've got that now. So I think for the second half of the season, I think things will be any much better.
And other aspects that you still need to work on?
There's always things to work on. It's never perfection. You're always striving for it, but there's always things to improve on. Like I say, we've got young players coming into the squad as well. And, that means more gelling and understanding for them. So there's always someone who needs to, get an understanding of what we're trying to do. But like I say, with the players that we've got now, it's getting a bit easier because obviously as coaches we do that work, but the players who are already in the team can pass on the knowledge as well. So we're in a good place.
I know we spoke to you before as well about the pathway at the club, and that must be one of the most rewarding things for yourself as well, in that you're able to kind of spot talent and really see them develop and how they integrate into the first team.
Yeah, I mean, when I first came in, the main thing was wanting to have that pathway and wanting to be a real pathway that players could see a way through towards the first team, from the under-18s through the devs, the under-23s as it was last season, to the first team. And we have that now, and I have to say fair play to the foundation. They've done a great job with the youth section. We've got some real, real talent coming through. I think they've got another wave of recruitments going out soon for next season, for another two squads. So the future looks bright.
And do you really notice the benefits of being under the umbrella of the foundation as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a lot more professional. They're full time, so we have all of their facilities. They've got an office at Adams Park. They've got good connections with the men's section of the club. So we love the trust. And I think the trusts are very, very important for Wigan Wanderers, as they are for all clubs. I think the trust is always important, but definitely for us. Going where we want to go. It's really good being under the foundation. Mark Gateskill's really working hard on bringing in funding, because we are self-funded. So we need that business acumen, to try and find, solutions to the problems that we have, financial problems that we have. We have a lot of really good sponsors that have been brought on, and some coming for next season as well. So in that regard, the foundation have done a great job. And before that, Nigel Kingston pretty much was out there on his own, going, getting all the sponsorship in. But now he's still doing it. He's still doing it, Nigel, don't forget that. But now with Mark, it's ramped it up a little bit more. We're in a nice position.
I imagine you're always keeping an eye out for new talent as well. And I guess there are players that you're tracking, or just players that become available that you think that they'd bring something to the side?
Always tracking players. Like I said, been in women's game for a long time now. So there's players that I've known from when they were 15 years old who are now 22, 23. So, always seeing where players are, seeing how their careers and their journey is developing, and seeing if what they need to do aligns with what we need to do. And quite a few of the players that we've got this season, the players I've known for a very long time, and it's been the right time for them to come to Wickham, and they've found a home here. Obviously, there are other players that we look at as well, but at the moment we're quite happy.
And are you happy with where the league position is at the moment, just in contention with the top and, just 5 points off the leaders?
It's nice to be in contention. Like I say, we always want promotion. That's always the aim for Wickham Wanderers, a club of our size in women's football. We've had one loss and two draws, and so you can't complain too much about that. And that was in the first month of the season, I think it was. So, can't complain too much. We're in contention. Obviously, it's still very difficult. It's a little bit unfair, really, that only one team goes up. Makes it difficult for other teams to build, because obviously if you put a team together, which can take 3 years, as you've seen, you've seen it yourself with us. It's taken us 3 years to get that squad together that can actually challenge. But then only one team goes up. And then the team that doesn't go up, can they keep their team together? What happens to them next? So I think it's a bit difficult. I think the league needs to have a look at that and make it two up, two down. I think it would be better for women's football as a whole.
And great for you to see as well how well players have just adjusted as well. If they need to come in and play in a different position, or just not the usual perhaps centre-back partnership, for example, if there's been injuries or players unavailable.
Yeah, the players get a lot of rotation in training to understand how we want to play. And obviously, like I say, the work that Charlie and Sonny are doing with the under-18s and the devs, it all follows through. So we've all got, we're not clones of each other, but we have a similar way and an understanding of how we want to play. And the players have that.
And nice for the players to have had this break as well, but a real challenge coming up on Sunday with the league leaders.
Yeah, yeah, tough away game to Ascot, unbeaten in the league, odds on for promotion. If you look at history, past few years, the team that finishes second usually goes up the following year. That's the way it seems to go. Obviously, we want to try and change that. But at the moment, you know, they're unbeaten, like I say. They've got an 8-point lead at the top of the table. So, really, it's all on them to, you know, see what they can do.
And will you be saying to your players, this will be a real, you know, test of where you are as a side as well?
The players that we have are very experienced. You know, a lot of them have played in higher tiers. So, you know, they know what's there. It's the games that they want. They want games like this. They live for games like this. So the motivation for these guys is I don't have to do too much. In the past, I've had to really ramp it up and bang the drum, but these guys, they're chomping at the bit at the moment. It's trying to hold them back. So, yeah, they're ready for this game.
It really feels like your team benefits from that, from having players that have played at different tiers and some of the youngsters that can benefit from that as well.
You can't buy experience, you know. We have lots and lots of talented players, but you just can't buy experience. And players who have seen it and done it really can help you. And, you know, most teams you see that go up, they have that within their ranks, and we have that now.
And really pleasing how you know, the players seem so focused and put in really clinical performances and really want to, you know, enjoy their game and do well for the club.
Yeah, yeah. It's great how the players really enjoy being part of Wycombe Wanderers and how they really get the club. They understand the community aspect of it. So it's fantastic to see that, and to see players just happy to be here. Makes me quite pleased. You know, I live in Wycombe now, so, you know, for me, it makes me quite proud that the players actually love the club as well.
And do you notice a real increase in support and real interest in the side as well?
Yeah, there's loads of interest in the side. I live and I work in Wycombe, so, you know, I get pulled here and there when I'm going for the Eden and, you know, when's the Wycombe Wanderers show on and this, that and the other and when's your next game? You know, it's difficult. A lot of supporters do say to us they'd come to more games, but because we're in Burnham, so it's difficult to get there and this, that and the other. But we still get, you know, a good bit of support down at Burnham, and we love being down there. It's a fantastic facility, really nice for the players and the supporters. It's just a nice place to be. But yeah, hopefully we can get a game at more local to Wycombe. We are playing Penn soon, so that'll be a game in Wycombe. But yeah, we'd like to get one a little bit closer.
And having experienced it myself, it's a real like family atmosphere and feel at Burnham on a Sunday afternoon as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and we have, like I said, great support. And you know, we got people from the foundation's trust. They came down as well, so it was really good to see. Well, I didn't even know they were down there. I went to the foundation's. It was a Christmas do, and the trustees were there, and they were telling me that they've been coming down to the games. They knew all the players, and I was quite shocked. But obviously, when you're coaching and you're managing the game, you don't really get the chance to speak to supporters. You know, we always see Alan and Margaret from the, you know, supporters trust. They're always there. They're there for the first team and the devs every Sunday. They're always there. But, yeah, there was other people from the foundation's trustees, and that was quite pleasing to hear.
And what would you like to see from the team going into this second part of the season?
Same again, really. And obviously, we want to always, you know, grow. So we want to do better than we did the last time. You know, score more goals, concede less goals. That's all it is, play better football and just keep developing as we go along. And that's all you can do, take it step by step, game by game. Like I say, we're on a really, I think, 5 games unbeaten at the moment. I think 3 or 4 clean sheets on the bounce. So we're in as good a place as we can be, I think, going into this game.
And speaking to the players on the show as well, it's really nice how, you know, so many youngsters are inspired by what they're doing as well.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, a lot of our players, they have good social media profiles as well, and they do inspire a lot of young players, so it's nice to see.
Thank you so much for your time, and all the best for the upcoming games.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Real pleasure chatting to Carl Simon, who's the Wycombe Wanderers women manager, and wish the Chairgirls all the best against Ascot on Sunday. And let's switch our attention to the visit of Portsmouth tomorrow night for the third round of the FA Cup. Speaking to manager Matt Bloomfield on the day that he completed the signing of Anders Högelsjö in the central defence.
Absolutely, yeah. It's incredibly exciting for our supporters, isn't it? For us to be able to... And now as a football club, go and recruit from abroad and obviously using our analytics approach and being able to go and target these guys feels like a big step forward for us as a football club. So, yeah, it's fantastic news and incredibly exciting for our supporters.
And what are you hoping that he'll bring to the side?
He certainly brings a quality on the ball. He's a left-sided, so he gives us a nice balance as well. And Obviously had a really good experience playing in Europe as well. So it was fantastic acquisition for us. And yeah, really looking forward to seeing him out on the grass at the training ground at Harlington and getting him out on the pitch as soon as we possibly can.
And as you say, it really shows the progress the club's making that it's able to go further afield and get someone with that experience as well.
Of course, you know, especially in recent times, we know that it's been loan signings, free transfers, maybe small nominal fees, but we're now able to go and recruit in this kind of manner, which is just incredible. So, yeah, fantastic news, really exciting news.
And great to be able to bolster that position with Caleb going back, but also with Sonny arriving this week as well.
Yeah, I thought Sonny was great on Tuesday evening. I never done it, but that must be a tough gig to walk in the building, meet all the lads and walk straight on the pitch and play. Can't be an easy situation to walk into, but he's a really calm character, Sonny, and he's obviously been there and done it, got the T-shirt, played hundreds of games, got promotions, played for some fantastic clubs. So, yeah, I thought he was great. And having him and Anders really adds to our defensive unit.
I must really please you as a manager to hear after the match in his post-match interview saying that he's looking forward to getting on the training pitch and really earning the respect of his players, his new teammate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, the work that we do on the training ground is really important to us. We really feel like you take your training ground work out to a match day. So what we do out here at Harlington is vital for us, especially the progress that we've made, that we believe we've made at the start of the season, and the progress that we want to keep making. Really important that we get out on the training ground, try and educate the guys in terms of the way that we're trying to play, just give them the knowledge of what we're trying to go after, and hopefully we can, and hopefully they can adapt super quick. But must go back to Sonny on Tuesday evening. I thought he was fantastic, considering how little information and how little time he'd had with us. I thought he played very well.
And something else which you said after the game as well, how well the players have done, you know, generally with so many games in such a short space of time.
Yeah, and you know, we've spoken about stats before and how much we do look at that in terms of our performance. What do we see on the eye and what do we see in terms of the numbers? We hit all three KPIs on Tuesday evening in the fifth game in, was it 13 days? Tomorrow will be the sixth in 16 days. So I can never fault our lads. I was just talking to one of the boys out in the canteen about, I can never fault the lads' effort. I will never, ever question that. Whilst they're giving me everything, giving us as a football club, they're giving us out there everything. I can never question that. And what the work they've done this season has just been incredible. But there's loads more that we can go after. We're not happy with the work we've done. We're content with what's happened in the first period of the season, but we're absolutely hungry and desperate for more. So, the effort that the lads are putting over this Christmas period has been fantastic, but we absolutely want to finish with a flourish tomorrow evening.
And obviously another great sign of how well that the team's doing this season to be competing in the third round of the FA Cup, especially, you know, that lovely symmetry of being 50 years since the team first reached this stage of the competition.
Yeah, and I think that it's a blessing and a curse how well we've done in the Cups this evening, because it's meant our number of games have been quite big at this point. But it's lovely to be in the third round. You would never question that. It was just fantastic to be a part of this competition. I just feel with pride that we're in the third round, and I just love being involved in this cup. So, it's lovely to do it on the 50th anniversary, and we absolutely want to get through and get further.
And great to be facing a team that I think many from sort of obviously Wickham fans, but also from outside might imagine that there could be an upset.
I think if we do win, it will be an upset, considering that Portsmouth are the higher ranked opposition. But we know that they come with real strengths and some very, very good footballers. They've now started to really adapt to the level in the Championship and got some, especially at home, they've had some really big results recently. So we know a number of their players, both personally and professionally, obviously their management team. We know them. We played them twice last season, played pre-season as well. I've known Moose for a number of years now, more than I care to remember. So it's looking forward to be a great night and a really good game. I really hope it's a proper match between two really good teams. And we hope to come out on the right side of that.
It should be a really special atmosphere being on a Friday night as well, and fans getting the chance to see, you know, whoever is put out, because obviously in the third round there's in history there's fantastic stories of those really making their names that perhaps haven't been so well known previously.
Yeah, and you know, Adams Park under the lights, you know how much I love being at Adams Park under the lights against Portsmouth, who I'm sure will travel in their numbers. They always make great atmosphere behind the away goal, don't they? So I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere. A couple of new faces for the guys to be seeing, or newer with Anders and Sonny again. So, yeah, it's going to be a great night. And we really, really hope that we can, really impress ourselves on the game the way we want to. play with our same style and identity that we have been for this season. And if we can do that, we believe that we can give Portsmouth a very, very good game.
I know as a player, you really enjoyed playing in the FA Cup. Does it feel extra special leading the team in the competition as well?
Yeah, too right it does. Because, you know, I've always dreamed of becoming a manager, and to do it in the FA Cup, leading my team out in the third round of the FA Cup is super special, mate. It's absolutely super special. And life's for creating memories. It's about experiences and doing that with those around you that you really care about. And we have that right here, right now. And we're looking forward to the game tomorrow.